What is this?
Inmates have problems. This is the solution. Back home we have football, here it's a sparker. The guards set up the fights. General Krushkov makes money, betting with his pig friends, and everybody's happy. Except the poor schmuck who gets his f***ing head bashed in.
All right, Bedway. This movie's called In Hell. You just heard what they said. Does this really paint a picture for you of what it's like to be in hell? Have you seen worse? Have you seen better?
So there's two things. Yes, it's the worst because if you get thrown in solitary and then you have the river of poo.
The poo river?
You got to sleep right next to it too. And like it flows right by your bed. And he was sleeping head towards the poo, which bad decision, buddy.
He slept in it at one point.
He was ready to die. I mean, not to quote Biggie Smalls. But on the other hand, Drew, if you're good, if you mind your manners and you stay out of the fights, you get to watch fights all day for free. So it's like pay-per-view for free.
Yeah. The highest MMA quality possible.
Yeah.
What if you get thrown into it, though?
Not so bad. Well, I mean, if you're not a good fighter, they're not going to want to put you in a do-or-die fight, right?
Well, what about the warm-up fights, you know?
You could be in the warm-up fights and you get your ass kicked, and they'll realize you're not worthy of the good fights, and then you won't die. I've got this all figured out.
We're going to have to break this down in a minute here, because there's a lot to talk about with this, and I think we can do a good job breaking this down a little bit. But before we get to that, welcome back to In Hell. We are in hell right now.
Welcome back to hell. Welcome to hell.
This is episode 151 of The Last Row Podcast. Check out our website, thelastrowpodcast.com. Follow us on all the social channels at The Last Row Pod, Twitter/X, Facebook, Instagram, etc., whatever. Check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, hit the subscribe button. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave us a 5-star review. Thanks to everybody that did so far. I feel like we're in hell, bad way.
In hell, November 24th, 2003. This is our seventh Van Damme movie that we've done. Second straight prison movie. Van Damme prison movie.
Yeah.
So does he have any more? We got to do all of them.
There's probably others.
Do you think he has other Van Damme prison movies out there? Yeah. It's just a great place to have an action movie.
It is.
One of my favorite settings.
The setting is great.
Yeah. 1 hour, 42 minutes, just about right. Although I was falling asleep all throughout this movie. Not for the movie's fault.
It's the festivities.
I was watching it at 6 a.m. And it took me about 3+ hours to watch this hour, 42 minute movie because I had to keep rewinding because I was just dozing off.
How committed are we as podcast hosts to give the people some entertainment here that you woke up at 6 a.m. to watch this movie so you could be ready for the people?
Now, hold on. First of all, I didn't wake up to do it. My body woke me up because that's what it does now.
You're not supposed to tell people that.
And B, if I was a dedicated podcast host, I would have watched it 4 days ago when we knew that we were doing this movie. But I've always been a do your homework at the last minute type of person. So
give yourself the credit, my friend. Give yourself 6 a.m. dedication, people.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you watch a movie, you take a few naps in between. Not so bad. Action thriller. Oh, by the way, this is a direct-to-video movie. I don't know if we've done a direct-to-video movie before.
I was thinking about that. I don't think we did.
The thing is, I remember this movie. I remember seeing it on the shelves and be like, I don't remember that movie coming out to theater. It confused me. Because I didn't think Van Damme had stooped to such levels yet.
I also don't think
Seagal did. I believe by right. 03.
Wait, he had that one. I know the Seagal one where he's on that with like the, what is it, that Blackhawk or the, not the Blackhawk, the SR-71 or something.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? I forgot the name of that movie. Uh-huh. But I thought that the cover of this looks nothing like the movie at all. Like there's no shot at all. Like they should have given him either the slick back goatee hair. Or the crazy hair.
It looked like a standard prison on the cover.
Yeah.
You know, with helicopters flying and this and that.
Not a gulag.
Not a gulag. I love the word gulag. Action thriller directed by Ringo Lam. Or is it Lam?
Lam? Maybe it's Lam.
I'm going to call him Ringo Lam.
I would say Lam.
Because there's no B. There's no B at the end. Lam. So it's Ringo Lam.
Limb.
Ringo Lam had a three picture, tryst? Is that it? Tryst?
I guess.
With,
agreement?
With agreement with Van Damme. One of them was a real movie. Real movie. Real. How disrespectful.
Man, whoa.
Theater release. Maximum Risk. Have you seen Maximum Risk?
No, it's on my list. I'm going through like the, I think we talked about this when we watched, I think Death Warrant, which is, I think episode 127 or 29. I'll put a link in the show notes.
127.
Of all the Van Damme movies that I missed in my life, and I'm on a Van Damme kick. And by the way, 1 year ago, yes, when we did that, I said, hey, I'm so excited to get this Jean-Claude Van Damme action figure. I have it pre-ordered. Guess what, people? Still not here.
Still
Diamond Select, get with it.
Still back ordered. Come on.
They keep delaying this thing. But the other one was Replicant, right? Which,
yes,
I want to watch this movie.
Sounds
based
like
on
a great plot.
The synopsis.
You know, we're not going to go through it, look it up, because we got other plots to talk about. We're talking about In Hell. IMDb 6.1 out of 10.
That's about right.
Rotten Tomato 53%.
It's probably about right.
Metacritic question mark. Unacceptable. Letterboxd 2.9 out of 5.
I gave it a 3.
It's all good.
I gave it a
Kyle 3. Kyle LeBlanc. How do you like Kyle LeBlanc as a Van Damme name?
It's very unassuming for a guy that isn't a trained fighter. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I think
he's just a steel worker foreman. That's all he is.
Something like that, yeah.
Is an honorable citizen who winds up incarcerated in Russia after he takes revenge on the man who murdered his wife. She's dead. Resulting in the killer's death. Unfortunately for Kyle, he's assigned to a prison that is renowned for its violence. Controlled by a corrupt and sadistic warden, the facility regularly holds brutal fights between inmates. In order to survive the prison, Kyle must participate in the battles, even as he attempts to retain his humanity. Rated R.
I think this movie has two distinct halves, and they make it seem like the whole movie is going to be this sparka, and it really isn't. It's right. It's like you famously said when we did Death Warrant, not to call it back again, was more about like, oh, we want to see all these fights. Like, I thought that's what this was going to be, and it kind of wasn't, and we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting, I mean, it's a good synopsis, but I feel like it mispaints a picture.
Yeah, I kind of liked that he was an everyday man, and
yeah.
You know, was able to get bullied for a lot of the beginning of this movie until he kind of found his way.
He's no Lewis Burke, so they would say. There's only one tagline I could find for this, and it says Rage Unleashed.
Sure.
Which it kind of is the second half of that. Yeah, he's got his rage. Sure. Financials. So this thing got a $17 million budget. I don't know how they even calculate direct-to-video releases, but it said it had 239,000 return. So you called this out earlier, this probably is our first direct-to-video movie, but I think it brings me to like a topic, because we might have talked about this on the show before, but when streaming came out, they started making shows, and then they started making streaming movies, and I feel like, is there a stigma between like a direct-to-video and a streaming movie? Like, I feel like there's this blurred line.
So I feel like budget is a big part of it. And I bet budgets are very similar, but this definitely the stigma of direct-to-video, direct-to-DVD is worse than nowadays, where it's like, oh, streaming direct-to-Netflix, direct-to-Peacock, whatever. That's fine. It's all good, because it's the pandemic changed the game, is what happened. So
yeah, definitely. And I think that the thing back then, there definitely was a stigma, but I'll say like $17 million, I don't think this movie looked crappy. Like, it didn't look bad. No. I felt like it looked pretty good. You could tell it had a limited budget, but I thought overall it looked pretty good.
Yeah, no, for sure. And this is a very like simple movie too, right? There wasn't a lot of explosions. You didn't need to like do any kind of, there wasn't a lot of gunplay, things like that. There was one chase scene, great scene on the bus in the beginning, right? Where he fought the guy on the bus.
Oh yeah, that was great.
And it was all pretty practical. There didn't really seem to be much of anything. So they, you know, confined setting in the prison with fights, choreographed fights, you know, it looked good.
Yeah, I think, like you said, there was probably three set pieces. There was the very, very, very beginning of them outside of the prison. Then there's them in the prison. And then there's like the field where they're building a railroad to nowhere, which we'll get back to. But I thought it was very interesting. You know, when we did Death Warrant, you brought this up and you said, man, I forgot what it was. I'll put a link actually to the time code of what you said. But it was something around the lines of, we wish that we could get rid of the organ trade plot and we could just see him in prison, like fighting and trying to survive.
Yeah.
But Lewis Burke was obviously a bit more of a tougher fighter. You got Kyle LeBlanc in here, and you said it earlier, he really isn't that tough of a dude. So which plot do you think you prefer, like this one or Death Warrant? Because I think they're different time periods and they're different products of different eras, in my opinion.
I think this is a better movie, and I prefer the plot of this movie a little better. But I rewatchability-wise, I think Death Warrant is more rewatchable. It's more fun. It's more of a like a silly 80s action movie.
Yeah, Death Warrant is absolutely 80s, 90s style. And then this is like, hey, we're going to make a movie in 2003, and it's going to be in a Russian gulag, and it's like rape, murder. Like, it's very dark.
This is a very 2003 movie.
Yeah.
Like, color palette-wise and kind of like, gritty-wise, for sure.
Very much so. And honestly, I know this is probably a random stray observation that I noticed, but like, what's the last movie that you saw that had opening credits that you can recall? Because I couldn't even remember.
So nowadays, people are just trying to get to the movie.
Get with it.
Now, and then this movie and before, it's like, hey, let's pad the stats, man.
Yeah.
Let's get that runtime, you know, a little boost so it doesn't look pathetic.
It's like, it's funny because it was sort of while things were opening. So it wasn't like blank opening credits. Like there was something going on, but it wasn't like just, I don't know, it was just odd. I haven't seen an opening credits montage in quite a while.
I'm a fan of don't give me any story.
Just go in.
Give me a song. Like James Bond.
That's
like,
cool.
Give me an opening intro song with the credits and give me like animations and like graphics cartoon and things like that.
Christmas Vacation.
Give me that.
Yeah.
That's another thing altogether, Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, but you need a theme song.
Yeah.
What's the In Hell theme song is the question.
We're in hell. Yeah. give me a James Bond themed In Hell intro.
You're going to have like Adele sing that? Or
let's get Billie Eilish on the case.
Let's talk about this prison, man. So you mentioned the synopsis in the beginning. Why does this guy go to prison? There's a very specific scenario. We have to break this down, but set it up for the people. Like, what's going on here?
So he's, you know, a hardworking man. They're on, I guess, on site in somewhere in Russia. Is it Russia?
That's right. It was Russia, I believe.
I just watched the movie. I should know where the movie's set.
Yeah.
And he's like the steel worker guy, right? He's got a hard hat on, but he also has a suit on. So he's not a grunt worker. He's like a boss of some kind. He's a suit. Even more to show that he's not a fighter, right? And his poor wife, this poor actress, she calls him, lets him know, hey, I'm not happy here. You're always working too much. And it's like she calls him and complains and then immediately dies, right? So that's all we get to know of this poor woman, you know? Guy breaks in, kills her for the fun of it, it seems, right? Just for the heck of it. You know, we come to find out, learn that he's a mobster.
Mm-hmm.
And Van Damme breaks in just in time to see the dead body and get into a little fight with the guy. Chase him down. Doesn't catch him. Guy gets away.
Do you think that it was targeted that they were going after the American guy's wife? Like, they never obviously talk about that, or you think it was a random crime?
I think it was random, because what else, like, unless the steel mill he was working on was infringing on mafia business.
True.
Which I doubt. Like, there was not enough story to tell us that. I'm not going to assume that.
We didn't need it. Yeah. But I felt like, you know, that whole scene and just everything. And like you said, he had just called her and she was talking to him on the phone. And the thing that she says was, I'm going to take you to the beach. Just you and me to the beach. Like, they're going to go on a weekend getaway.
We're going on vacation. Yeah.
Before he could even get home, she's brutally assaulted and murdered. And I'll tell you what, like you said, this is a very 2003 movie. Like, this movie is called In Hell. And they take you to hell right away. Like, it is a brutally...
It's a brutal scene.
...violent scene of, like, sexual assault. Like, it doesn't hold back. And this movie, like, it feels very gritty, and they set you up for, like, okay, this is not going to be Death Warrant. Like, this is not that at all.
Yeah. And, like, the weird thing is to me, like, the guy who does the attack, he's, like, a well-dressed, young, kind of good-looking guy. Like, what's he doing? Like, what's the motivation for? Like, we never learn the motivation for the crime, right?
It looked like John Wick situation where you got what's his name, Theon Greyjoy, going out, Alfie Allen going after, you know, somebody just for the hell of it, and I think that's what it was. But
so he chases after the guy, which makes me wonder, Drew. In a worst case scenario, this happens to you. You see the love of your life dead on the couch. And the killer is in the house with you. and he's about to run away. Do you like check to see if maybe I could, maybe she's still alive, or do you chase after the guy in a fit of rage and revenge?
Oh, she
what do look, you do?
She was long gone, man. She was dead.
She was dead.
She was deader than dead. I mean, he knew. And at that point, you got the guy in your sights. You're going to go into a blind rage yourself. And I feel like I would just be running like the freaking T-1000 after this dude. But like, what am I going to do? I'll probably get killed too because I'm not a fighter. I'm Kyle LeBlanc.
But the adrenaline will get it going,
That's
right?
True.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone could blame you if you got that guy there. But it was weird because the way that they set this up, I kept thinking like, oh, he's going to murder this dude and then he's going to go down because it's corrupt and it's Russia or some European country that you don't know the laws. And like he winds up in a foot race. He's on a bus fighting the dude, right? Like there's a bunch of stuff going on and they wind up going to court. But I would do exactly what you said. I'd be running after this guy and I would try to kill him. And so I think people say this too. Like people say, oh, if somebody did something to your kid and you see people that murder the murderer, I can't blame them. Like I can't. I'm not condoning murder.
So we're talking about eye for an eye. So here's the situation. The guy gets away during the bus chase and the bus fight. So he doesn't get his revenge. And we learn from the synopsis that he murders this guy. So we're like, how's his work? What's going on? Right. Cut to a scene in court where the guy gets off, probably basically because he's a part of the Russian mafia and they paid off the judge, right? Van Damme, he can't have this.
Yeah.
Can't have it. He's sitting there slinging his arm, steals the cop's gun, which I love that move in movies and TV. He's got a gun. Takes the gun out of the cop's holster, shoots the guy dead right there in the courtroom.
Can you blame him?
You can't blame him, but
I'm not saying I would do it.
I can't blame him, but I can't blame him. So, and the judge tells him, you disrespected the court by murdering a man for us to witness.
Yeah, in front of the courthouse.
You're going to jail forever in hell in a cell.
So November 24th.
November 24th. Hell in a cell. which the judge, to me, the judge isn't wrong.
No, like, he's right. Like, he's right.
Even though, so this is complicated. The judge is in the bag
by
the mafia. However, I mean, law is law.
He committed a crime.
If he was not guilty, deemed by the courts to be not guilty, and you that second shoot the guy and say, no, F you, you're wrong, bang, this guy's dead, you're spitting in the face of the law and
judge,
the country.
Judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah.
He played all three parts.
It's not Judge Dredd, all right?
Yeah, he was Judge Dredd. Well, I believe the quote was, or why he got off was, quote, lack of evidence and gross negligence by the police, which
there
is
was
like
an eyewitness.
Yeah, clearly, the guy was a murderer, and the judge was dirty or whatever happened, and they did. You were right. They said that the family had a lot of money. They bought the judge off, but you're right. Like he was wrong, and he was wronged. But he shouldn't have murdered this guy, even though you want to. But I can't blame him. But I can.
Couldn't he wait? Like,
but wait for what? Like an appeal?
Get him later when he's out of the courtroom. You know what I mean?
But he wouldn't have had a cop's gun.
But you know what? The runtime had already been 15 minutes, and we got to get to prison. How do we do this fast?
I agree with you. Like, so here, let me ask you a question: would you have liked it better if he did kill that guy in the chase and then went to jail for that?
Yeah.
Instead of like, and wrongfully was accused of either murdering his own wife or murdering this guy.
No, I don't want wrongfully accused. Happened? I'd have been annoyed.
Yeah.
Maybe it is better that he did
That's
it.
That's like Shawshank.
No, but we got to see his rage. Like he shot the guy in cold blood in like, he did not care. Like this is bullshit. I want my justice right now.
Yeah.
I think that's important for the character. So
he went to jail and like he sort of accepted it. Like he didn't seem like I shouldn't be in jail. He's like, I did it. And when his brother-in-law shows up to talk to him, he's kind of like, I did it. Like he didn't seem, and I get it. Like, I don't think I would have seemed remorseful too, given the scenario of like what happened, especially with his wife. Like, and it wasn't like, the guy hit her as a drunk driver or something where it seemed, and I'm not saying that's an accidental death, but like this was absolutely a deliberate death. To the point where he assaulted her first, which makes it a million times worse.
Yeah.
versus like, oh, I hit her with a car by accident. Yeah. It was like in vehicular manslaughter or something like that.
It's important for the character to like show like his rage.
I think it is. Yeah. It is. Well, let's talk about this prison because he winds up in prison and we've done Death Warrant. Everybody has probably seen Shawshank Redemption. You know, you've seen prison movies, you've seen prison TV shows. I don't know if this is a question that you can answer, but like, we've seen Prison Break. Where's the last place you'd want to be in prison?
Prison Break.
In the world.
That prison where they were at in Prison Break in season 3.
Is that Soma?
Soma? That was awful.
Is that what it was, right? It was like in Brazil or something? Or was it like South America?
Something like that. No, but I mean, in my experience in prison, Drew, which is nowhere. It's gotta be our enemies, right? Like, you know, Russia, China. Like, who wants to go there? They'll probably, especially Americans, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you're an American in a Russian prison or a Chinese prison, or like they're not our enemies, but like Mexican prison where like super corrupt. Just bribery's out the ass. We'll get you in, like out, or whatever.
Cartels or something.
Yeah. Like those are the big three, I think, for Americans. Yeah.
I think you said this earlier, but any place where, at least maybe we're brainwashed Americans here, but in the United States where you know that, and look, US has some pretty bad places too. Let's not sugarcoat it. I don't want to be in some of the maximum security prisons here.
Oh, traps, please.
But when you get a place that's like falling apart and it looks like it was built in 1700 and it's like a castle, not even just like a facility. And there's poo rivers and all that kind of stuff, and maybe questionable human rights. I mean, like prison in general is probably corrupt, no matter where you are.
Yeah, like a prison with no rules.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Any place where there's questionable human rights, even parts of the United States, probably the same thing, right? Like, but I agree. Like, this place does look like in hell. And you mentioned it earlier, but I think it sets up the plot really well. Is like, this guy wasn't a fighter, and he was sort of not remorseful for going in. And it sets his character up because he gets his ass kicked like the whole time. Yeah. And like, what's going through your mind while you're trying to go to this prison?
Yeah. And it's also, I think it's a testament to Van Damme's acting skills here where he's believable to me. Like, he's like, oh, please, I don't want any trouble. Like, he's acting like a little bitch, honestly. And because like he would be, because like it's what you or I would look like if we went to prison. Like, someone's trying to fight us in prison and like, we're not fighters.
Yeah.
He was believable. I was like, oh, please, guys. No, I don't want no trouble. Bang. He got hit in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Like, I think you mentioned it because I think we talked about this on Death Warrant. But when we talk about Van Damme, like, I think that he traditionally doesn't get the respect as an actor. And I will say that I actually think he did a really damn good job in this movie. He didn't have a ton of lines, but I feel like his physical acting was really, really well done. Well, like, he played this.
You hit it.
Brooding and like troubled very well.
When he has lines, that's when he gets in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
But he is a great emoter.
He really is.
And I'm not saying that like as like tongue in cheek. Like, great, he's a great emoter. That's what he has. That's a superpower.
The primary example of that, and I'll jump ahead to it just to mention it because you're mentioning it. But like when he's in solitary and he's got this CG moth that he thinks is his wife. I challenge you to go watch that scene. The moth looks so crappy, but he acted the hell out of that scene where it's like he's got this moth on his hand and he's going through hallucinations of like his wife.
There's the difference of direct to DVD, Drew. I mean, if there was a movie theater release, the moth would have been a little better.
They're going to train the moth?
They would have trained a real moth.
the moth tamer.
Yeah.
So you asked me this before the show, but I think this is a question worth pondering. But what is the bus ride to going to prison like? I feel like I don't want to steal your thunder there.
Do you remember getting on the bus to go to school in the morning?
Yeah.
And didn't you feel like a prisoner then?
Bus to prison.
And that was just the lowest of stakes. You're just going to school. And it felt like the worst ride because you knew 8 hours of learning was coming.
You're stuck.
Against your will. Forced learning in the gulag.
The Pennsylvania gulag.
I can't even imagine the bus ride to jail. You don't want the ride to end. You just want it to keep going. Like when they stop, you're like, oh man, already? We're here already? Yeah. It could be a 5-hour bus ride and when it stops, you mean already? Because that's the last bastion of freedom is you riding that bus. You're done.
What goes through your mind during that time? Yeah. It's like you don't know what to expect. But see, like the school bus has its own cliques. You got the kids in the back, you got the kids in the middle, you got the front, you got the bus driver. Like a bus ride to prison, nobody's saying jack about anything.
But you want the back seat because you're the last one out.
Yeah,
you're free. Time. You're free that much more than extra 5 minutes until it's your turn to stand up.
The length of the bus, the length of the bus distance is your extra freedom that you get.
They should put the real bad guys in front seat so they get to jail quicker.
I agree with you though. It's like the bus ride is probably your last breath of freedom. And like, where the hell were they driving them from, too? How long was that ride? I don't know. Yeah. He's going across. I'll tell you what, when they drove him to this place, because I it is supposed to be a gulag, and I think, I don't know, we could go over the definition of a gulag, but this place on the surface didn't look so bad right away. And let me explain what I mean by that before I get flamed by everybody.
Please, I'm about to flame you, so go on.
There was sunlight. It was light outside. I'll say that. Okay. There was grass. There's a low bar here, by the way.
Yeah.
There was grass. And it didn't look like Siberia or like a freaking snowy hellscape.
It's because it's the setting. If they could have shown it to you on a dreary day, and usually they do, and especially when you're if it's an Eastern European type thing.
Yes.
You know? They kind of they do that. They kind of make it dreary looking, or even that they set it in winter on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. Which is Russia. Like they had the opportunity to do that, but hey, $15 million budget, I guess. Yeah. They can't do the fake snow.
Mm-hmm.
Because you watched the most recent season of Stranger Things, right? Like he's in what I would expect.
Yeah, but it's all about the winter. It's all about the winter, right?
I feel like it makes it worse. It makes it worse.
It does make it worse.
It's more brutal. So is this place a gulag? And what do you consider a gulag?
See, my first interaction with gulag is actually in MTV's The Challenge. When
the gulag.
You know, they called the elimination chamber the gulag. And I was like, oh, that's a fun word. And then I looked it up. Oh, it's a prison. This isn't really what it's like at all. But I know. I like the gulag. I don't like the gulag.
You want to go? We'll go tomorrow.
The idea of working instead of rotting in prison, it's intriguing to me. I don't know if I'd like it more or not. What do you think?
But what if you're tired and would you rather lay in the prison bed, even if you're bored out of your mind, versus you're basically can't walk and they're forcing you to make a railroad that goes nowhere?
I think it's a matter of prison sentence, right?
All right.
If you have 5 years, say you got 3 to 5.
Okay.
Give me the gulag. Billy? Yeah. Give me the gulag where I'm working hard every day. Put me, I'll build that railroad for you, buddy. I'll swat those. What's the cleaver? What is that thing called?
Scythe? The hatchet thing?
It's like a scythe. It's like what the Grim Reaper has.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're swatting the wheat, you know? Give me all that things. I'll take that for 3 to 5 years because I feel like the time will go by quicker if I'm working hard every day, right?
So if they put you in Siberia, do you have to shovel snow out of the way of the tracks? All right,
well, nobody said anything about shoveling snow, Drew.
Because that's a heart attack waiting to
happen.
I don't
know if I want to shovel the snow, man.
You'll cut the wheat versus shovel the snow.
Yeah, I'll do the hot outside labor. I don't want to do the snow shoveling.
I feel like the guards would just have flamethrowers and they would just be blowing the snow away. Yeah. Or
they don't need the guys to do that.
Because they'll die. Yeah. I feel like they'll die. I agree with you. It's the sentence length.
If it's life in prison, put me to bed, man. Let me lay down 23 hours. Give me an hour of outdoor activities and I'll be done with it. You know, because you're working towards something. If you're getting out in 3 years, right? If you're going to be is your job is to build this railroad for the next 40 years in prison.
Yeah.
Freaking fade me, bro. Well, tell you what.
Well, two questions. I want to talk about the railroad in a second, but maybe we should save it for the solitary because he tries suicide attempts. I'll come back to it. You mentioned the railroad. Where does this railroad even go? And is it actually a railroad or are they just building one?
I think it's a fake railroad. I think it's busy work. Let's have the guys build a railroad. It's going to take them 40 years.
What are they
doing?
It's like, where are they trying to go? And then do they get a ride on it after they're done? Maybe it's like a death squad.
You have to get a ride on it, right? That's like You must.
Would you trust a railroad that prisoners built? Like, they're built it under, like, duress. Like,
the conductor would not take that route.
What if the guys didn't do the bolts right? That's how you know it's not used.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's not used.
I think it's a fake thing. And you know what their job's going to be after they build this railroad? Dismantle the railroad.
Yeah, take it down.
Wouldn't that be the most demoralizing thing?
Oh, man. And then build it again. Yeah. And they go back the other way.
They should have them build houses. Like, build a house.
That's a thing. You build a house or something. At least it's used for something.
No. Build a house and then have them tear it down. And build it again.
That's like Lego. Like, what if they made them, like, equivalent of Lego building?
You know when you're a kid and you build a tower and some jerk other kid knocks it down?
You gotta build
it
again.
The feeling you have of, like, you knock my tower down, like, that's the feeling they would have of the house times 100.
I agree. That's what about punishment. This prison as a whole? So it's a pretty bleak looking prison. I mean, I've seen worse, but it's not great. But let's say you mentioned sentences. That guy, Billy, like, he was in it. I think his sentence was a year and a half, if I'm not mistaken. And he was trying to escape. And I mean, maybe that depends on how much rape is involved, I guess.
Can we, you bring up Billy. Can we talk about him stepping off the bus in a space shirt?
We have to. Space camp, straight up from space camp.
He was asking to be sexually assaulted by these bad men.
You can't wear that there.
Coming in his childhood space shirt. In a suitcase, he had his dinosaur shirt.
Is he supposed to turn it inside out? And can you? Because he was handcuffed. Like, at what point do you have the opportunity to turn that shirt inside out?
It's like, he knew he was going to prison that day. Like, he could have turned it inside out. He could have not worn that shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Bad move by him. Bad move.
So you're in this prison and it's a gulag. You mentioned prison's, you know, sentence length. I mean, knowing that you're probably not going to get out of there, you're either going to die by getting raped, you're going to die by getting murdered or shanked, you're going to die by overworking, you're going to die from boredom. Like,
you're going to die.
Are you going to try to end it, or are you going to try to survive here? Like, I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
It's a hard thing, and being in solitary is another conversation.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You got to try to stick it out. You got to try to make it work.
And maybe you escape.
Solitary will play with your mind, though. So it's a totally different game.
Yeah. What about the food in this place? So overall, as a prison,
you know what?
Because it didn't look so bad what I thought.
Not bad for Russian gulag, right?
You got a piece of bread.
You got a nice piece of bread. Like, it was like generic, stereotypical loaf of bread, right? It was like rounded at the top, square on the bottom. Looked nice.
It looked like a little
piece of questionable meat.
Yeah. Are there maggots in that thing? Like, what? It looked fine, though. It didn't look bad. Ants were because he left it in place for so long.
Yeah. Like, he tried to starve himself, but then he ate the worst thing that they gave him when he finally was like, you know what? I better start eating.
What was that?
He ate that slop porridge oatmeal bullshit. I would have fasted one more day, see what the next meal was.
I'll tell you what, the meals that they were giving him looked like they were following the food pyramid. Like, there was a grain, there was a protein, a meat, there was a vegetable.
I feel like it's on purpose, though. Like, if you decline the best of what they got, then they're like, all right, oh yeah, buddy, you're gonna hunger, you're gonna go on hunger strike. We know you're gonna eat. We're gonna start giving you the real garbage.
Yeah.
Was because when you do finally break down and decide to eat, you're going to eat the garbage.
So you think they were saving that for the other guys? Like,
yeah.
But isn't it in their best interest to make sure that you're fed? Because they got a railroad to build. So if you're not...
No, they feed you. They feed you. Yeah.
Because they want to torture you.
It's like high... It's probably high in protein and fiber, you know? Enough of the nutritions. But you're not going to get pizza. You know? I mean, Friday's not pizza day.
Pizza day.
Yeah.
They get to wear jeans on Friday too.
Do you think that behavior in prison would be 100 times better? Like, they should do studies on this.
I bet they did.
If you guys don't get into a fight all week, you get pizza on Friday. Treat them like children. And then all of a sudden everybody's good because everybody wants pizza.
Well, I mean, I think that they do certain prisons at least. I mean, I don't know much about it, but I think certain ones, don't they give them like computer privileges and things like that? It's like, if you're good, you get to work the library.
How much of a dick do you have to be to start a fight when you know that the computer lab is on the other side?
Well, it's a gulag, though.
Just don't punch a guy and you get computer privileges.
They don't have the internet here.
You don't stab a guy and you get pizza on Friday. Like, I don't understand. How would this not work?
Control me. I mean, imagine if you were in this gulag for like 20 years and you had pizza. Like, I'll tell you what. during the pandemic just a few years ago, I remember it was hard to get, you know, food for a while and everything. And I didn't have like a real slice of pizza in a long time. When I finally had that slice of pizza, it tasted so good. Imagine if you were in prison for like 20 years. That's like first world problems in my situation. Yeah. But like you didn't have a slice of pizza, you taste that pizza. Oh man, your brain would go nuts.
I like how you compared your situation to being in prison.
Yeah.
You know, have the
I'm
pizza.
Saying it wasn't.
It was like that episode of Curb where the survivor was like, yeah, survivor. We didn't have any toilet paper.
Oh, he's like, have you seen my show? It's
have
called
you
The
seen
Holocaust.
My show? It's called The Holocaust. Survivor.
Right.
I am the survivor.
The guy was on Survivor.
Colby from Survivor.
Yeah. What about the hierarchy of this place? Because you had these guards, which, and again, maybe this is because it's a direct-to-video. These guys didn't look so tough. You had three guys, and that was it. That's all they had budget for.
Right.
And they didn't seem too bad. They only had little like nightsticks or blackjacks or whatever they call them. They didn't seem too bad, did they? I mean, I don't know. They let the prisoners do the enforcing, not them.
They're little slapjacks and billy clubs, you know. No, they could get their ass kicked. If they could have been ganged up on, honestly.
Do you think that they owned this place and they were sort of making it clear that there was, hey, if you pay me, I'll do certain things for you.
Your life will be easier.
Yeah. And we'll get to some of the prisoners in a second, but there's this very specific part of, hey, they're going to pay to get a different jail cell, or I'm going to pay to get medicines, or I'm going to pay for whatever. Do they actually deliver, or is this just to trick you into thinking that they'll do something?
I don't think so. I feel like the more you pay them, the more they're going to want to get paid more. And the price just keeps going up.
Keeps going
it's
up.
Extortion. It's extortion at its finest, because there is no victim, because the victim is a guy who's already in prison, who has no rights, you know?
Yeah, the perfect example of that is when Jean-Claude Van Damme's brother-in-law shows up and says, I'm going to get you out of here, man. This is Russia. You know, it's corrupt. Like, it's like, it reminds me of Deuce Bigelow. This is Mexico. They know what they're doing. It's like, I kept thinking about that. Like, he's trying to get them out of prison, so he's going to bribe some government official or something like that. Mm-hmm. How much money does it take to get you out of there? And what kind of favors do you need to pull?
Well, here's the thing. Russia, they know when they're putting the screws to you, right? If they're imprisoning you falsely, like let's take the Brittany Griner example.
Yeah.
Right? Remember that where she
well
was,
she did I mean
well
I'm
yeah
kidding.
Sure
I'm joking. I'm
she
joking.
Was busted for a little bit of weed, right?
It was a crime, correct?
And it's a crime and it's a bigger deal
joking.
There than it is in America, right? But they milked it for all it was worth to make some kind of trade, right? With the United States,
right?
They have a guy here in Van Damme's character who, no doubt about it, stole a cop's gun and shot a guy in cold blood, whether or not he deserved it. Like, that's a crime that actually happened, that we, like, know for a fact, saw it with our own two eyes, murdered a man. This guy's life is over.
It wasn't fair.
That's harder, in my eyes, to bribe out of than, like, a bullshit kind of like smaller crime where Russia's
like petty
we know, we arrested this American, we'll give it back to you, but we'll, you know, make it, let's wet our beaks a little bit. I think it's harder to do for an American citizen to gun down a Russian citizen in cold blood, no matter what the circumstances are.
True, especially whatever this guy was, where he was sort of in bed with mafia, or he was a son of a mafia boss or something, whatever, he was an organized crime guy.
Yeah,
essentially what it was. So you're right. No, you're right about that.
The price is higher is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. And he gets into all kinds of trouble because he doesn't get out. He seemed like, so we talk about there's two halves of this movie. I think the concept of putting him into solitary is what starts to change his character.
Sure.
Because they didn't really talk a lot about the fighting at that point. You only saw the very beginning where they had that guy, Milosh, fighting the guy with the mask that looked like Kane. Any guy with a mask, I guess, that's that big looks like Kane. It's unfair for me to say. But they let you know that there was something going on, but you didn't really know about the Sparka until a little bit later in it. And I guess he saw it and he started to happen where that guy Andre started fighting with him, but he started getting thrown into solitary. And that's where he's like, I think, started to think, well, it's not worth it. So he tries to commit suicide, try to hang himself. He tried to run headfirst into the wall, like you said. It was just brutal.
That's like the craziest way to off yourself is to just run. Cause like, you know, you knock yourself out and then maybe there's a little damage. You come to, and then maybe you run into it again. It's like, how many times does it take?
Can you actually kill yourself by doing that? Or does your body not let you?
I feel like you're going to get knocked out. And it's just, you'll get some brain damage.
Yeah.
But I don't think you'll ever fully get the job done.
You're ruining your quality of life. Whereas obviously you hang yourself, like,
yeah,
it's gonna, gravity is what's doing it, not yourself running into the wall.
This guy was not that smart on his geometry and like figuring out body weight versus cloth resistance. So it was a piss poor attempt.
That reminded me.
But he did what he had to do.
It reminded me of that game that we played, the Prison Break game. I forgot what the heck it was called.
Oh, No Way Out or something. A Way Out. A Way Out.
It's like, we need to get more sheets.
You get the sheets. He needed more sheets.
Gotta get more sheets.
At first, I thought he was going to try to like climb somewhere.
That's what I thought.
Oh, yeah, he's killing himself. That's
I thought that too. I'm like, I don't think he's going to have enough sheets to get to the top. Like, talk about...
He needs more sheets.
He's got to get more sheets. He was trying to... I thought at first he was trying to climb, like I said, and then he was using his shirt as like a pillow. Man, he was sleeping on a rock bed. It was literally a cement thing of just being on the rock.
A slab. It was, you know, just 3 feet above the Pooh River of Pooh, man.
I'll tell you what, he'd have had a better chance of dying by drinking the Pooh River there.
Yeah, instead I was going to say the that. Same thing.
Why didn't he do that?
Man. Why did he drink the Pooh? Because nobody wants to do that.
You can't nobody do that.
I'd rather bash my head against the wall than drink the Pooh.
You would get dysentery from that or some type of sickness,
you'd
right?
You'd get sick before you die. So it'd be worse than anything.
At first, do you think... Let me ask you. This might be getting a little bit too in the gutter here.
Okay.
But I'll go there because we had, a 20-minute poo discussion last time.
I'm ready for it.
Do you think the poo should have been more like poo? Like, it looked like just dirty water.
Because I think it's been, like, it's been through the piping system.
So you know what it is.
So it's liquefied. At this point, you want turds? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Like, should it have been?
No,
should it have been?
I feel like once it's flushed and it does its, like, you know, swim wherever it's coming from through the pipes, it's liquefied. Come on.
It was even worse when it was raining in there and it was just the rain.
And then, like,
water.
What if it would, like, I thought the cell should have flooded.
That's what I thought.
So where it's like the poo would start to rise.
He's got
to
stand on the thing.
And his bed is, like, the only thing, like, better hope that 3 feet is enough.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And, you know, the whole time he's in there too, he's having visions of a moth, which is his wife, which was, again, one of the worst CG I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But then he was also banging on the wall with that guy, Milos.
I mean, that was very vital to his survival, was forming a bond with the guy, with Kane.
Did you get the impression, though, that he was banging the wall to be his friend or banging to say, shut the hell up? Because I thought he was trying to say, shut the hell up. He seemed angry.
It was be quiet, but like, you know, he could use it because like, they formed an unspoken bond because they were both in there a long time.
Yeah.
You know, nobody spent more time in solitary than Van Damme in this movie. And also, I thought it was good storytelling too, because it kind of like you saw his gradual change. Like the solitary definitely made him stronger and it made him, I don't know whether it was the moth wife thing, but it's kind of where he went to get jacked too. So I thought it was all good for him.
Yeah, the training montage in there too.
It's just my only holdup is that in order to get the good shot of his face in the cameras is to have him facing the River of Poo while he slept on that slab. Totally unnecessary. Like he needs to have his face in the other way, you know?
You had enough of the poo. You don't need to see the poo. No
why
more.
Why would he be sniffing that while he's sleeping?
Let's talk about some of the gangs and the prisoners, because we'll talk about his transformation in a second, but I think the way they set this up is that there's multiple gangs, but the Russian mafia is like the gang on top and they own the place. And I just thought that the mob boss looked like a complete like nobody to me, but maybe that's how it's supposed to be. I don't know.
Yeah, smaller guy. I don't know. I expect a bigger, burlier guy.
He didn't look tough at all.
They just put a hat on him. That's all they did.
Yeah, he had the little like newsy cap or whatever it was, which I thought was stupid.
Not impressed.
Yeah. And what about Andre?
Andre, that was the brother of the guy he killed, right?
They didn't. I don't think it actually was. He did the kiss thing.
Maybe it's just a thing.
But that's what triggered Van Damme. It could have been, but they didn't say it. I think they said like the kissing thing triggered him because it looked like him, though. It definitely looked like him.
Maybe it's a thing they do in Russia. I don't know.
Like a little pissed him off real good.
Yeah.
There was other gangs too. We don't have to go into all of them. There was like the tattoo guy, which was I don't even know what they were. Wasn't a lot of diversity in this prison. I'll say that it was all like regular, just looking gangster dudes.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of diversity in Russia, so
Yeah. I don't know. What
it's
about
like when you see movies in American prisons, it's like, of course, it's a melting pot. So you're gonna get, you know, the whites, the blacks, the Mexicans, you're gonna get everybody, you know, Asians. And Russia, you're basically gonna get Russia, and then you're gonna get some Americans. Right?
Yeah. What about the good guys that you had? The guy, like, I don't know, did anybody stand out to you? Because there wasn't a lot. When I say good guys, I mean the guys that he sort of befriended after a while. Right.
Yeah, I mean, first was Billy, obviously, the, you know, space boy.
Space Camp Billy?
A.K.A. Bitch Boy.
Suka?
A.K.A. Suka.
I feel like that was such a... Yeah. Man, that would really piss me off if they called me that, too.
And the second was the dude with, like, the longish black, like, spiky brown black hair.
Is that the drug guy?
I think he's the drug guy who, if they... shaved his head, he would have looked just like Billy. So I'm glad that they separated him by hair. And then the wheelchair guy, right?
Absolutely. The Malachi, I think his name was.
Who I think, you know, he might have turned bad at the end. I forget because I was falling asleep.
I couldn't get a read on him.
We know that Lawrence Taylor lit him on fire. So
that was freaking brutal, man. Yeah. It was brutal.
Let me ask you this, and this might be insensitive, Drew. So please, if this might get me canceled, maybe you don't put this part.
I cut it out.
What if you're set to go to prison and you just put yourself in a wheelchair?
Oh, you mean like...
And say, hey, I can't walk.
Did he fake it or he literally crippled himself?
No, you fake it.
Oh.
As to like, so the prisoners don't fight you. So maybe you get off without getting fought because you're in a wheelchair.
It's, survival. You got to survive. So.
And would the prisoners at all be interested in...
Yep.
You know, assaulting you.
Yep.
If you're paralyzed, like, would that be a thing that they would be into?
I think you need to give yourself every advantage, and I think not being able to walk, even if you have to pretend that you can't walk, puts you at an extreme disadvantage. But
the one day you slip up, and like you move your legs, or you like you get a stretch in the morning. Like, say you roll out of bed, you're half asleep. You stand up, you do a stretch. Oop, I was supposed to do that. But all of a sudden, your cellmate sees you, and he's like, "What the?" And then, like, he starts telling everyone.
What's the dude from "There's Something About Mary"? The guy the architect guy who pretends that he's like pretends that he has a disability, and then he starts like dancing.
Oh yeah,
I agree. I don't know. I don't think you could do it. I don't think you can because I feel like they probably going to get found out.
They probably put you through some medical situations to like ensure. I don't know, man.
Yeah, physical.
You got to do what you got to do when you're going to prison.
I feel like it's hard, man. And plus, if you were, let's say you couldn't walk, your legs are going to atrophy. So you got to almost atrophy your legs on purpose and not use them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think you're putting yourself at a disadvantage to do that. And I didn't really get this dude. Like, was he, speaking of him, like he seemed to be the guy that was the guy that could procure all the favors.
Yeah, he's the getter.
The guards. Yeah. He said, oh, you need something? You come see me. Mm-hmm. And he also was given dirt to everybody, and he essentially got Billy murdered, right? Because he was gave him a what is it, bolt cutters to get out, and he got him killed, and he told on him too. So it's like he knew what he was doing, but he did it for medicines and creams and stuff like that. So in a way, it's like this movie doesn't try to set anybody up purely as the bad guy outside of like some of these dudes because they're all trying to survive. And I kind of liked that because it was a moral gray area that it's like, man, I guess, can you fault the guy? Like, I don't
know. Malachi, he doesn't know anybody, anything. He's out for survival, just like everyone's out for survival. But if you're taking advantage of innocent people, then you're kind of a bad guy for it.
Yeah.
So was he worthy of being burned alive?
No,
probably not.
No,
a bit overkill there.
It seemed like Lawrence Taylor was just looking for a reason to burn somebody alive. Uh-huh. Why couldn't it have been the prison guard or something? Yeah. Or like other guys, like Andre, if they
wanted to do a burn scene, they could have picked a meaner guy to have it happen to.
Yeah. It could have been one of the raper guys instead. Yeah. Like, I don't think Malachi deserved that. And the fact that he was in a wheelchair, that to me seemed like shock factor, I feel.
Yeah. They could have murdered Malachi. I have nothing against that. But like the burn thing was a bit much for him.
It was. And maybe that's a good segue to Prisoner 451, a nice little callback to Ray Bradbury there for Fahrenheit 451. But Lawrence Taylor, I don't know, like how do you rank him as an actor? Because I feel like you don't always get these athlete crossovers where they're not just actually actors now.
Yeah.
I think what you said, this was his second film or something.
I think it was the second movie because he did Ending on Sunday. Yeah. I mean, he had a cameo, Waterboy, things like that.
That's true.
but nothing major. I thought you did a good job, right?
Me too. I was impressed.
As, for being like serious, dramatic, like even in the beginning of Sunday, like he was dramatic, but he was also some comedy involved.
Yeah.
So that's always like a crutch, I feel, for actors coming in and doing like quick shots like this. But no, he was full on dramatic in this. No, obviously no laughs at all. He did a great job.
You know what stands out to me when you get a person that doesn't know acting? And this is going to sound really stupid,
yeah,
but it's their camera awareness. Do you know what I'm saying when I say that?
Yeah, I get
where,
it.
Like you, if I tried to act right now, I would probably look like I was trying to not look at the camera.
Yeah.
Whereas I felt like good actors, I mean, the camera's not there. You're in the world of because whatever. And I thought you did a good job of that.
Where do you look? You have to be the character. And I'm sure directors, that's like the number one thing they struggle with amateur actors is like making it look realistic and having the actor be in the moment and not look at the camera or look in a dumb place that's not the camera. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought he did a pretty good job of that. Like he seemed natural. And I felt like, I don't know, I was trying to think of some of the other actors and Dennis Rodman was one of the first ones that comes to mind because he was in another Van Damme movie. And he's in a bunch of others, but I don't know how you feel LT does.
Yeah, LT was great. So think about LT, Rodman. You got OJ, you got Shaq. They have natural charisma. So I feel like it's easy to transition to being an actor. I'm not saying to being a full-blown actor and have like 100 credits, but to go and do a movie like this, I feel like they got to step up because they do have natural charisma. Kevin Garnett, I don't feel has as much natural charisma, but he still did a good job in Uncut Gems.
He was pretty good.
Yeah. Kareem did pretty good in Airplane, but that was comedy. A little different, a little weird. He played the straight man in a comedy scene, in a comedy movie. So I don't know. You know, LT, A+. A+. Love it.
I thought he was great. And when you told me about this movie, like, oh, hey, we should watch In Hell. And I was like, with LT, I'm like, what the hell is he doing in this movie? But I thought he was pretty good. And I don't know. I don't want to like break down the whole character because there's not much there. But like, I think the way that they set him up was there was a flashback where he was talking about something. He had these journals where he was like journaling what's going on. He seemed to be this guy that they just let him do what he did. And he murdered a teacher that molested him, which again was very dark, by lighting the teacher on fire. So they showed that in like a 2-second flashback. And I felt like, did they really need to show that? Did they need that? I don't know that they needed that.
I'd rather they make it mysterious. I don't know if you felt the same way, but I got the inkling that he was deep down a good guy. Or like, you know, maybe not a good guy, but like he was misunderstood as this prison monster. You go in the cell with the LT, you're going to die, you know? He's not just a cold-blooded murderer.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like there's something missing, and I felt like it was obvious that there was going to be a story, a redemption to it. And
I agree with that. Yeah, I felt like there was something that they didn't do.
And we come to find out the guard says, oh, we put him in with 451. We put troublemakers in there, and he takes care of them, right? I think that you go in the cell with 451, he's studying your character, right? And most people that get thrown in there with him, if not all people that get thrown in with him, are dirty, rotten bastards, violent people, people that are getting fights all the time, not sanctioned fights for the Sparka. Guys, people that are making life hard for the guards. And they're inevitably going to lash out violently in the cell, which makes LT go, all right, you're annoying me, you're dead. But when JCVD gets thrown in there,
he said something about being quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a quiet guy. He's a nice guy. He's not violent at all. He wants no beef with LT. And LT's like, okay, all right. And, you know, we talked about it before. What did Van Damme do to kind of soften, you know, break the ice, so to speak?
Showed him he was a normal guy. We talked about this in Death Warrant. He dropped trow and he did a little number two in front of him.
He took a shit right in front of LT. And what did LT do? He calmly rolled over and turned the light off. And him turning that light off made me think, this guy's okay.
I thought it was so funny because we had specifically talked about this in Death Warrant. And I keep calling back to that movie. I'm sorry. It's probably annoying everybody, but you go back and listen to our episode. We talked about this at length, but they showed the bathroom. And I felt like at first, I'm like, why the hell are they showing this? But when I made the connection, I agree with you. I think that it showed that Van Damme was comfortable enough to use the pooper in front of him. that he did it, and he had a little like door, the door opened, yeah. And then he sat in there. So like, I thought that was so funny to me.
We talked to the previous Van Damme prison movie about there's no privacy. You know, ultimate privacy in this jail cell, Drew. It's the luxury of having that partition. I love it. I wouldn't be able to go to another cell. Imagine getting transferred to another cell and then there's no partition.
Leave it to us to talk for like 55 minutes and not even talk about the spark.
Who cares? It's Van Damme in prison. Doesn't matter. He's fighting. He's not fighting. It's all good. It's all gold.
Here we are. Can you break down the sparker for people and talk about this? It's essentially like the kumite in prison.
Yeah, I don't even know if I could do it justice. It's just kind of they pick guys. Guards have favorites. And it's a fight to the death. Usually it's done at night. And they bet on it. Who wins and, you know, you lose, you die. And they have, like, these preliminary fights during the day to kind of see, like, does it, like, juice the number up of the guy? Like, this guy's 10 to 1. This guy's 5 to 1. This guy's 40 to 1. To see who's a worthy competitor. And I kind of like that there's, like, warm-up fights that are not to the death. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, it was almost like you know, you got the card and like the pre-fights, you got these other guys. Yeah. It was interesting.
Or in wrestling, it's like a squash match, right? You have the big favorite fight some jabroni and he kicks his ass. And it's like, oh, this guy, I got to bet on this guy tonight in the main event. What I don't like is that if you win one of those Sparka fights, if this is your thing, your prize is Billy, which I think is not cool. Poor guy, they drag him out of bed every time there's a Sparka fight for the prize.
What if you're not into that? What if you don't want that? But I guess maybe you can one of those dudes.
Maybe what if you get some form of reward? And that's like one of three things. You get Billy, you get a piece of pizza or steak dinner,
pack of cigarettes,
you get an hour of television.
They don't have cable lines to that place, man.
Most people choose
streaming on Netflix.
A lot of people choose Billy.
Yeah. The best of the worst options.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting because there's obviously a lot of bad guys here. And you mentioned this. I'll give you full credit for this. But would you liked it better if the guards had more of like a draft of these guys coming off the bus? Because it didn't seem like there was any organization around this outside of like, this guy looks tough. Let's put him in it. This guy looks tough. Let's put him in it.
Like, how come there wasn't like a championship belt?
Yeah, there should have been.
Which I guess Milos would carry, right?
Like, and Andre had it too.
Yeah, nobody's even beating Milos. But Andre was like, of all the people you saw, Milos was sequestered in solitary because he was more beast than man, I suppose. But like, there should be a championship belt. And yeah, I feel like there should be corrupt ways to get good fighters, throw them unjustly into prison in order to get some better fights in there. If I were a corrupt, you know, Russian prison person. But I'm a fan of right off the bus. Get off the bus, you line them up, and you have those three guards. You do snake-style draft. Those are your guys. And maybe you know, you don't judge a book by its cover correctly, and then you draft a bad guy. Like, of course Billy's going last. We know that. But maybe Van Damme, you know, Kyle, whatever the hell's name is, he might be like a fifth-round pick. You know, and all of a sudden you get this guy who can't be beat. All of a sudden he just needs to find the moth, and all of a sudden he can't be beat. And then you can brag to all your friends, I drafted Van Damme in the fifth round, you idiots. What were you thinking?
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
He's this unassuming guy. Yeah. And what'd you think of his prison transformation? Because I think about this all the time. Whenever I see guys in prison, it's like they got that Gone in 60 Seconds greaser look where he greased his hair back. So before he did that, it looked like a scene straight out of Jean-Claude Van Johnson where he was like wearing prosthetics, where he had this long hair and he let himself get crazy in solitary. And he had real long hair, he had a long beard, and he started going crazy. And that's got to be the cover for this episode. But then he goes through this scene where he sort of accepts his fate, where he knows what he's got to do and he knows who he is and he knows what he's got to be. And he's get this prison slick back hair where it's kind of like a grease mullet, but like slicked like guys from Gone in 60 Seconds. And then he has like a boat anchor goatee. You know what I'm talking about? Where it looks like a boat anchor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why do guys do that in prison?
I don't know. Is it because if you're planning on fighting, it's hard to grab your hair?
I guess.
Or is it my whole thing about this prison thing, why are you trying to look good? Like, why are you even do it? Why are you even? Is it because like you want to like hold on to a semblance of humanity? Maybe.
I guess.
Like, why are you doing your hair at all? Like, why are you combing your hair? Why are you going in for haircuts? Like, what do you care? You're in prison.
Where do you get the product from?
I mean, you gotta call the wheelchair guy, smuggle it in.
Did he get some pomade, or is it like straight up literal grease from his own hair? Like, is that his hair's grease? Yes.
It could be greased up, but I don't know. Who are you dressing up for is all I'm asking. I think it's a humanity thing. You want to feel like a human. So you get yourself up and get ready for the day. There might be some, if you're facing a life sentence, there might be days or even years where it's like, ah, screw it. And then there might be other days where it's like, you know what? Let me dress up. I don't know.
So Van Damme's prison transformation into like prison tough guy was complete as soon as he went completely off the rocker and bit that guy Andre's throat out, which I didn't think that Andre looked that tough, but I mean, who am I? I couldn't fight him, but I feel like other guys could.
The biggest guy there other than Milos, you know, yeah. Big guy. Scumbag, total unhinged lunatic. I thought he was intimidating enough.
I personally thought that he was going to pull a Mike Tyson and bite his ear. And then when he rolled off of him and his neck was completely jugular, that even was better. Where I was like, okay, they're in hell.
Even better.
They're in hell. someone should have cut to the camera and been like, oh my God, we're in hell.
We're in hell.
In that moment. I feel like they should have done that. But then they brought in that other guy. I mean, again, we're kind of condensing the movie into the last few minutes, but it doesn't really matter. Then they brought in that other guy, Valia, who's like an even bigger dude than Andre, to like fight him. And he refused to fight him. And he was assaulting Billy too. But in general, like, they just, all the gangs saw Van Damme as like, he doesn't want to fight. And he was like their inspiration. Then the guards didn't want to kill him because they didn't want him to be a martyr. Like, he stalled their operation.
I love it. I love it. I'm surprised that no one has done this before.
Yeah.
Yeah, do the pacifist route.
It seemed interesting because they were all kind of dumb. Like, they're all trying to fight each other, but wouldn't it make sense? It's like, hey, if we all just gang up against the thing, we could just win together. But nobody wanted to because they all wanted to be their own boss, I guess, is the way to say it.
Yeah, and I think there's a certain machismo to it. It's like, if we're all in here for life or whatever,
yeah,
you know, maybe guys want to be the toughest guy in the world, you know? And they like having the favor of the guards. I'm in here for life. I might as well be on the guards' good side, do what they say. You know? Especially a guy like Andre, who's like, I'm going to win every fight anyway, so screw it.
Yeah.
until he meets Van Damme.
What did you think of the whole, like, concept of this where the thing just shuts down? They wind up taking it. Everyone becomes his, like, buddy. And then the ending of the movie, I mean, again, I don't have to do story beat for story beat, but that he escapes and they go rebel against the guards.
The ending made no sense. That's why we shouldn't spend time on it.
Well, and LT was like taking his journals and then he lights what's his name on fire. And then it's like, they're going to expose the truth. Who gives a rat's ass in the United States about what happened in this prison? I'm sorry. Yep. Like, they wouldn't care. They expose the truth.
If Van Damme made it back to the United States, which is a long shot, right? They'll probably just be like, okay, glad to have you, you know.
Glad you're out of there.
You're a criminal over there, but we'll protect you here. Oh, what's that? They're running a fight ring over there, and if things are unfair.
Makes sense.
That sucks. That sucks. Nothing we could do about it.
If you told me that was happening today, I would be like, yeah, probably. I mean, it probably is happening.
Do they think they're going to start World War III over this little rinky-dink prison?
You think Russia cares about the fact that anybody knows? They probably are endorsing it. Any country.
USA, who's president in 2003? It's George Bush, right? George Bush. George Bush goes over to Putin. Hey, Putin, knock it off with that prison.
Nobody cares.
Putin will laugh at him.
Yeah, that's how I was thinking, too. It's like they weren't going to do anything. It's like all the – and there was that closing credit where it said like they found out and the prison was shut down in 3 months. Like if that was any other country, maybe I'd believe it. But this is like, there's nobody has jurisdiction
this
over
not,
that.
This is not Team America. We don't police the world. Yeah.
If you told me that was Russia happening in the US, I'd believe you. I would believe you. Like, like in the US, okay, maybe there's some pressure internally political, but you're not going to get another country that tells someone what to do. Like, it doesn't happen.
Right.
So I don't think they would even care. I mean, I'm glad he escaped, but that's the one flaw that this movie has. Like, it's just sort of ends. Like, in some ways, I think it'd almost be better if he died in prison. It was bleak enough. Like, they could have killed him and it would have been okay.
I don't know. Yeah. And like, how do you end this movie? It's,
you don't, it's, you don't. And that's, how do we end this podcast?
They didn't know either. So yeah.
How do we end this podcast? I don't even know. Yeah. Like
we don't, we're going to keep talking forever.
We just end it. But I'll say this, like, and maybe this is a way to end it. I was actually really surprised with how much I enjoyed this movie. Like, it was slower than I expected, but for a direct DVD kind of movie, which I don't typically watch that, I like Van Damme. I thought he was great in it. And I actually really like this movie. I thought it was entertaining and it was worth watching. If you like prison movies, it was good.
Well, I think it just goes to show that, like, the stigma that we talked about earlier of direct to DVD, you know, direct to video movies. Maybe we were movie snobs at the time. Well, if this movie's not good enough to make the theater, then this must suck.
Yeah.
You know, that's a thought that would cross my mind back then.
Same.
But that nowadays, that sounds ridiculous. So it doesn't matter what your budget is. So you have good movies, a good movie. You have good actors. You have good story. Shot well. It can be good. And this is a perfect example of it.
And I think this is the other example of, I've talked about this quite a bit on this show, but I think he's a good actor. And you mentioned earlier, he emotes very well. And I thought his body language, his physical acting was really good. And I would, if you guys are into these, like, prison style movies or whatever, that as a setting, I definitely recommend checking this out. It's, as of April 2024, it's on Peacock and Tubi and a bunch of other channels. Just make sure you don't get stuck with the Spanish version unless you speak Spanish. But I think most of the services have it, like, falsely advertised as the English version and it's in Spanish. Yeah. I went to go watch it, like, on Tubi, and you're like, hey, by the way, it's on Peacock. I'm like, oh, geez.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, do we need the language?
You don't.
Like, you could get away with Spanish with English subtitles. And, like, because Van Damme himself doesn't speak a whole lot. It's a very visual movie. You're good either way.
I think it's good, and I think you guys should check it out. So I'm glad we watched it. I probably never would have watched this. And now I want to watch Replicant because go check that movie synopsis out. It sounds pretty awesome. And I definitely want to do that one.
I'll tell you what, like, I've been, like, open my eyes to this director, Mr. Lam. So maybe we should do his trilogy, his Van Damme trilogy with Maximum Risk, which was a theater release, and then Replica.
Yeah, we should do that.
Which should be our next two Van Damme movies.
Yeah, that would be great. And then we ultimately have to do Lionheart, which is my most underrated Van Damme movie, I think.
We're saving that one for a special occasion.
Yeah.
I don't know what occasion that is, but we're saving
it. Episode 200. Yeah, 50 more. Oh, man. And on that note, well, if you guys enjoyed this show or whatever, check us out, thelastrowpodcast.com. Send us an email, thelastrowpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on all the social channels at The Last Row Pod on Twitter, X, Instagram, Facebook, whatever you use these days. We'll be back in 2 weeks on Thursday, May 9th. And please consider leaving us a 5-star review and subscribing on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And thanks to everybody that left us a review so far. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
We will see you then. Yeah.